Wait. Did you just push play on this podcast? Great. Now you're stuck. And you gotta listen. Today I got two very special guests, two very close friends of mine, Bobby and Dutze. Make sure to hit that subscribe button. If you have any questions for Bobby and Dutze after the show, make sure to write in on us for the Bad Nerd Podcast on Instagram and as well as Twitter. Best place is probably Instagram. And all right, let's get to the show, you nerds. Nerd Podcast. Just to let you know that nothing happened when you opened that thing. I don't know if you did. But welcome everybody to the Bad Nerd Podcast. I have two guests with me today. I'm not sure if the other one is with us at the moment, but we do have Dutze with us. Dutze, say hi to everyone.
Hi, can you hear me? Sorry, I was choking a little bit there.
Oh, we're not gonna ask
I'm okay.
Oh. But welcome to the podcast. Well.
Yeah. Thank you for having us.
I know you wanted to start or at least try to be on a podcast. So this will be a little warm up for you. Again, I'm Sci-Fi News. We'll probably have Adam with us in a second, if anything. But I do have some questions that I was hoping that you and Bobby could answer for me. But I think maybe on your own would be just fine too, if that's all right with you.
Oh, he came back. Mm. He's over here.
Mm. Over here.
He's here.
All right.
Here's
so,
my better half.
I'm my better
half. The one that doesn't choke on beer.
Not yet.
I've never seen that man choke. So I had a question, and I don't think I've ever asked it. I think I might have been a little too shy back then to ask, or I don't. Maybe I didn't know the answer to it or how to ask it, but. When Bobby met you, I felt like it was maybe within like 2 weeks that he asked you to marry.
2 weeks?
No.
It felt like it went by really quick.
It did go by really quick. It was 10 months.
It was quick. Yeah. It was 10 months.
It was really quick. It was probably quicker than I think most people expected.
I remember him, I was standing in front of his house. We're on the lawn. And he was like, I met this girl at a Starbucks. And I was like, all right. And he told me the story about, like, I guess he overheard you talking maybe or something. Mm-hmm. And next thing you know, he's like, I'm going to ask this girl to marry. And that, I don't know, that just felt super fast. And, I mean, how long you guys been married now?
We just had 10 yeah. years.
10 years.
In August it'll be 11 years.
Yeah.
No, Dutze sounds nonchalant like it was nothing.
But just a decade of our lives.
11 years.
But I think...
11 years, 70 to go.
I think that's such a crazy story. Sorry, I think it's such a crazy story that you guys were able to meet the way you did. And with that limit of time, end up getting married and still last 10 years and have kids, the house, you know, the whole American dream. I don't know. Being married, did you guys move in before getting married or was the first time?
That was the first time.
Yeah. We were like about a month away from our wedding when we got the house. And yeah, we were still kind of putting it together after the wedding. We had it put together enough for our wedding after party.
Yeah, and I remember my mom, it was like such a pride of, she was like, it was funny because she was almost in disbelief because I'm the youngest of five, right?
Mm-hmm.
And so none of my other siblings were able to purchase a home before they kind of tied the knot or like that quickly, right? So I remember my mom was like, you did it, You did it. You actually did it. Like, she told me that.
Yeah.
I was like, yeah, it happened. But then, you know, we obviously didn't do it by ourselves. Like, we had so much help. You know, we had Andres's mom, and she was, like, really just worked with us. She was really took care of us.
She was a realtor, so... I don't know if you knew that one, that Andres' mom was our realtor.
Yes.
Yeah, she helped us get our first house.
She helped
house.
Us look at what was in our price range and everything, and she was like, we're going to be aggressive, we're going to find you the house that you want to be in, and she's like, I want to be realistic with you guys. You're a young couple. You seem like you're moving up with where you're at, and, you know, this is going to be your starter home. So having something is better than nothing. So don't like set yourself on like this has to be your dream house. Just make sure that, you know, this is the house you can live in for a couple years. That's going to gain you equity and help you get your next house.
Yeah. I just want to cut you off for a second, but
I'm on this call.
I'm just going to say that, you know, she was an amazing woman too. She always made it feel like home every time you went over.
She did.
So, you guys got like the whole privilege of, you've known.
Felt like you were family.
Oh.
Oh, I knew her back since.
What's up, guys?
Hey.
Oh, hey Adam.
What's up, Adam?
Hey.
So, did you guys start recording?
Yes. We started it up.
Am I interrupting in the middle of it?
No. Just the toast. Right. Just the toast.
You're about 5 minutes in.
We're just doing a toast.
I started off by cracking open the beer, and then I like started choking on it.
It was the bubbles.
But yeah, no, I mean that definitely takes a village. It takes a village, like with anything else. If you want to, you know, nurture it, it's like anything else.
No.
So.
What I want to ask you, like, in the start of your marriage, I mean, that's very soon to be moving in, especially like you. It's like putting all the cards on the table. That poker thing was just like, I'm all in. Mm-hmm. And within the 10 months and saying like, yeah, I want to do this for the rest of my life with you. Did you feel like there was like still a learning curve?
Oh, yeah.
Because, I mean, I could just imagine like there's a difference.
Good
like there's a difference like maybe you get an apartment or something together or someone has, you know, you come over here and there and you get to see what kind of lifestyle they live or how they live. If there's clothes on the floor, and you know, the whole fucking kitchen's a mess, you know, you find out who's the clean
well,
one.
We definitely experienced
it. Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, we definitely experienced that stuff, you know. Just she would stay over at my house. You know, at the time, my parents, I don't know, a lot of people didn't know this, but at the time, my parents were separated, so my mom was a little, you know, stay over sometimes, and then sometimes I would go and stay over there. Can I say that?
Apparently you can.
This is America, you can do whatever you want.
It's been a decade, I would hope,
until curfew, and then I would come back home.
I mean,
wait.
Okay, so here we go. Here's the thing. Mm-hmm. You talk about these things, okay? We were so each other right off the bat. Like, I really think both, I don't know. Like, I don't know about you, babe, but I was definitely like, all right, like, we're going to go do this thing. It wasn't like, I'm out, you know. It just happened to be in my time, in my life, next step, which happened to be my next step in life with Bobby. It was just kind of like, I was in a mindset of like, I'm just going to accept whatever the universe throws at me. I read the that year, I read this book, right? And it's all about just saying yes to everything. Like, as much as you can, whatever's feasible, say yes to it. Like, oh, someone's inviting you to something, say yes. Yes. Someone asked you, say yes. Like, and it was just seemed so epic that it ended with me saying yes to marrying you.
Damn, Bobby, you hear that? Great. You got it on easy street right there.
Yeah, I know. She's just like, I'm just going to say yes to everything. I'm like, yes, all in, baby.
Bobby's like, if I had known that.
No, but point that, yeah, we talked. Okay. We still talked about it. We talked about, like, okay, you know, personally sat down, had a financial conversation. We had a conversation about how we were going to split, like, our incomes. We had a conversation.
It's like,
about,
you know, we got to go joint, right? Live
together. Well, no, but that was the thing.
Part of it. And part of it is joint, but we looked at, here's our house payment, and we put all the cards on the table. Here's our phone bill. Here's the utility.
You're like, you know, I got a video game addiction, a comic book addiction.
And then we said, okay, well.
But you cover that.
So we said, okay, what we're going to do is each of us, and it doesn't matter. We're not looking at who's making more money or what. We're going to say, here's what it's percent each of us to cover all of our financial stuff, joint, all of our mortgages and expenses. And then the other 30% is you can do whatever the hell you want with. It's your money, right? If I can buy a video game, I don't got to have to ask
your holiday.
If I buy a PS5 with that money, yeah. So I can buy whatever I want with that 30%, right? So other stuff now, like with the kids, you know, the Switch Lite for their birthday. Okay, that's something that's the things that we discussed together.
Yeah, and we discussed that, I would say, pretty early on, probably at around 4 months.
Yeah.
3-4 months.
The kids being 4 months?
Months of dating each other.
So,
yeah?
No, yeah. And the other, and, you know, because we were looking at other... The
kids more worried about, like, milk.
Problems that other people... We're looking at, like, what do people typically have problems with in their relationships? And it all comes back to money, right? And it's like, you know, and we're like, well, the joint account, it doesn't seem to work because you got to discuss everything. You don't feel like you have any financial freedom. And then you can't be like, oh, you take care of the utilities, I'll take care of the mortgage, because then it comes back to, you know, oh, I cover more than you do. And so that's why I don't have as much money, right? And so we said, okay, what's kind of a balance between the two?
And you're going off of numbers as opposed to proportionality that way too. So proportionality, you're able to account for the influxes of your incomes, right? So you're not at solid, you know, 800 or whatever, 800 versus a 10% or, I don't know, like 20%, right? Which is going to be dependent, obviously, on what the actual take home is going to be.
So all right. I don't know about our viewers, but that math stuff might confuse them a second.
Oh, well, I was just going to say, I'm like, I think it helps that we're both quantitative people. Yeah. I'm not going to lie. Mean,
yeah, we're
we both live people. In Excel.
Yes.
Yeah.
That's interesting. But how do you break it up? You need to do it like that? Or you're just like, caution to the wind. I've paid these things off. I don't want to think about it no more.
All right. We're going to make it through this month, all right?
Let's think about next month.
Look, I saw they want to hire part-time at the...
Why are you taking pictures of my feet, Junie?
I'm about to make these dogs into some prize-winning dogs.
You know what's funny is that whole thing about living with each other, this idea of rooming with someone before you get married, right? Mm-hmm. That idea of that, I was thinking about this because it sounds practical at first. You're like, well, we get the kinks out, we figure out what each other's, pet peeves are and how we behave. Yeah. But there is one drawback I thought about, and it's that when you do that, you're like, maybe this doesn't work out. And then you're like, you know, it's not working out. You're not exactly the person I need to live with. So then you kind of break it off and you move on. And it's like, there's no such thing as a person you live exactly. How would I say? There's no exact fit. There's always going to be a thing where, like, oh, they're a little different. And you have to deal with it. And funny enough, being married already and having to move in already, it's like, I don't know, there might be a thing where like, oh, I didn't pick that up, but you're like, well, I'm not gonna, we're not breaking up now. I'm not gonna.
Yeah, I know. Dulce leaves all her shit in the corner.
it's a thing. It's like, well, I divorced her now. I love her.
And I leave my beer cans all
She'll
over the
take
house.
everything.
Yeah, I think that's funny because that advice now sounds, now that I'm married too, is like, sounds so counterintuitive to me because it's like, yeah, there's never gonna be that thing where you're like, oh, I moved in with the most perfect roommate, you know? That's
Maybe they
bullshit.
are the and maybe they are the perfect roommate, but they're not the perfect like partner in life, right?
Yeah,
Like they could
like
be the
they clean
perfect
up, but
roommate.
they're smoking so much meth.
Yeah, I guess yeah, that could be
That's why
the
it's always clean, because they're just too busy smoking meth.
case. And everything is fixed in one way or another. That's funny.
And then I also wonder, 'cause like we didn't live with other people either, like both
Yeah.
parties, It was one of those
right?
smash and goes. That's all it was.
Well, no,
Oh,
when you get together, like a partner.
oh, not
Well, I
living
mean, you
together.
like live for the night and then you leave.
I mean, like,
Yeah.
I had like roommates.
Like, and I had roommates too. So, and then I lived, yeah, it's just interesting how, like, your, and then Bobby kind of lived out in Midwest in Nebraska.
Yeah, so
So you
once
kind of,
entering the professional world, right, and then having a roommate.
yeah.
That's kind of weird because my first roommate was on, like, I found off of Craigslist.
Yeah, I know. I would never do that now.
Turns out he was like the number
Secure
one
serial
serial
killer
killer there.
But
status.
he was just like, he was this
He was
random
great
Jewish.
though. He brought the mail
He
in.
was. He was this Jewish white guy who liked to rap on the side, but was a banker in the
What?
daytime. Matizahu?
And
Matizahu?
he would climb up onto the roof of the
ZZ
apartment
Top?
and go smoke pot. Yeah.
That's funny.
Well, my first roommate, well, no, out of in a professional setting was in Missouri. Yeah. And that was
What?
interesting too. Yeah.
Where'd you go to school?
Well, I went to school in LA, but after college, remember when I did alcohol research? So I got people drunk in a laboratory for the sake of science, for the sake of sobriety roadside tests.
Where's that thing now?
I know it's in a journal. It's published, and maybe stands in court. I'm not sure. But it's, yeah, no, it was. So we each like I think that helped too. We kind of each lived independently at some point, then we came back.
Yeah. I think what really helped uni, well, I mean, because you're saying, oh, things kind of developed quickly, was I think we did a lot of things together, like traveling wise. We went, Adam was at one of them. We went to the Big Four concert with Metallica.
I was
Oh
there too.
yeah.
I was there too.
You
Yeah.
were.
But you didn't stay the
Yes.
night, so we stood the night out there, hung out
Yeah,
there
because
for a
the
little
wind's
bit.
like fucking knocking our cars down.
They were.
And then we were probably a month into our relationship where we said, hey, let's go to Vegas for the weekend together with some friends. So, it just well, but it just kind of helped that like, our friend, my friends and her friends, they all kind of got to get, got along and, we're similar
And get
in
your
ways, right?
friends,
They're like,
get my friends.
Dude, honestly,
song was
that really
funny.
is like one of the best ways to get to know somebody is just having to go on
Those
a trip with somebody.
experiences. Those experiences.
Yeah.
And
And
then
then.
when what happens when it doesn't go right? Like that's the
Exactly. What is the
key.
reaction to
That's
that?
the
And then
key.
I remember for a while because, I had been working and I was making decent money after college, so I was like, I want to go on trips, I want to do this, and I would put out, I remember like open invites to friends on Facebook, like, hey, who wants to join me here? Like, I'm just having the itch to go to Cancun because I've never been to Cancun before. And it wasn't until like it was a couple of months in, or Dulce was, I was like, hey, you know what? We're getting along, like.
Just...
Let's go to Cancun. And she was at she, we were she was at my house
Nah,
and
let's be honest. She knows Spanish, so you took her.
well, still, but she, yeah, I mean,
She got you around
but
the
we
town.
spoke
But you know, I was like, leap, yeah, I was like, you know what? You want to go to Cancun? And she's like, you know what? I want to go to Cancun too.
It was the year of yes.
And we started.
See? Yes.
And we, you know, we just started looking at like hotel rooms and stuff like that. And we said, okay, yeah, let's do it. And we booked the trip for August. And
you know what's crazy? That year of yes, everything I did, I met, no, crazy.
Hey, yo.
I met you. I met Magic Johnson. What? I have a photo with Magic Johnson, and I met Magic Johnson. I went skydiving. I won a bet that won me a bottle of Woodford Reserve that year.
At a bingo night,
yeah. And I got engaged. It was crazy. I'm sure other shit happened, but I mean, like, those are the big things.
I think that's one of the biggest things, though, for couples is being able to take a trip with someone. Right, where it's just you and that person, because you really do get to know the person.
I mean, like, wait, okay, so but, there's also like, that.
Go ahead. I just wanted to ask Bobby, how long did you hold the engagement ring for?
Probably 2 months, because we went in that August, and you know, after that trip to Cancun, I was like, okay, this is someone I can travel with. That I get along with, you know, and I can see myself, you know, wanting to travel and spend a lot of time with this person. And so I started looking, you know, especially someone who knows their diamonds. So, you know, I started shopping around on all the sites. I mean, like, there's like that Blue Nile's been around forever. And then I would go to downtown LA into the jewelry mart. So I probably had it, you know, we got engaged Thanksgiving weekend of that year. I probably had it since like the end of September.
And we traveled in August.
Awesome. I didn't know this was going to be the marriage podcast.
It was supposed to be what was the topic? It was marriage, right?
It was marriage, yeah.
It was marriage, and that was his initial question about like why how it happened so fast. And I don't know, I think it's just I don't know if maybe it was the amount of time that like we kind of hung out at the time uni, because maybe we weren't hanging out as much as often.
Oh, I was busy doing whatever I do.
You were at the OG, I think, still.
Like I said, doing what I do.
So long ago.
No, well, and Jeremy was young, so, you know, Jeremy being that young, you had a lot of other responsibilities the rest of us weren't used to yet.
There you go, segue right there. Boom, kids. So what made you guys he might hear it, I don't know, but accident planned?
What's that,
the first one?
We definitely planned it.
That's why we totally did. South America,
we are a wholesome Catholic family. Natural family planning.
Totally saw there's an entire rhythm method.
I saw that on Midsummer.
No, it was funny because we got married in the Catholic Church, so part of the retreat that we had to take for our marriage, to be able to get married in the church, was like about natural family planning.
Wait, but you and I did that. I remember with Adam and everything.
No,
you're thinking confirmation.
That doesn't count either?
You're thinking about confirmation.
Oh, yeah, Jesus. What else did you have to do? They're just asking for too much now.
They have a whole thing you have to do before you get married.
You got to, like, sacrifice a pig and everything?
No, it's like a whole retreat, and then they put you in separate little rooms, and you can see it.
They put you like with a hot chick or a hot guy, and like the temptation is like in.
You have to separate them. It was just like college for Bobby.
Slideshow, women bikinis.
Did they hold you down like Clockwork Orange kind of thing?
They're like, Catholic. Like, so she's gonna bake you a meal. She's gonna rate on a scale of 1 to 10.
I do have to say, okay, so there was totally some like BS stuff. Don't get me wrong. An entire component of communication, which is a key thing. I think that people in relationships definitely do not talk about what is your communication styles. How do you communicate? How do you communicate your needs? How do you communicate in a difficult time? And so them just literally sit down and being like, okay, like sit down and talk about how you guys communicate with each other.
You're right. That is very useful. And somebody might like be used to flipping out, raising their voice, and to them that's totally normal in their family or something like that, and they're not even that angry.
And then there were like, I don't know, things like, okay, who's the one who squeezes the toothpaste at the bottom?
Yeah, there was.
Well, the question I have is, why hasn't someone bought a damn new one?
One that rolls it.
I don't understand. You can just ask Alexa, set it on a sequence, done.
The toilet. All right, here we go. Hot topic for debate. Get ready.
Go up or down.
No, I thought you were going to go toilet paper sheets up or down.
Oh. Well.
Hit it.
It goes down, but it goes up. You have a cat. So you can't. Roll it.
You put the lid down all the way. Flush it. Water
yeah. It. That's good.
Which gets into another debate of shubber, and you're like, well, I don't know, because after I took a shit, I didn't see it because I put the lid all the way down and flushed it.
Nah.
Well, I don't know if it left skids on the side of the seat.
Ladies and gentlemen of the jury.
That's why after. This is 10 years of marriage.
Exhibit A! I'll be like, I can have this picture. Here's the lid up. Care to explain, sir? No, I'm just kidding. okay. You got anything else for your uni? Are we going to stay on this topic? Or
No, we can switch it up. I want kids. What happened? Oh, kids? I mean...
No, go ahead.
No, my main question was about, like... I mean, I'm pretty sure everyone talks about how stressful and tired some of it when it comes to having a kid and, you know, just the whole growing up stage. But isn't it just beautiful? I tell my wife, and I say... This boy, because I work graveyard, and I maybe sleep an hour or two a day, and I go, this boy wants to fucking kill me. He doesn't let me go to sleep. Like, I can't catch a nap within him because I'm afraid he's gonna get up and jump off the bed. You know, he's still too young that he doesn't know how to use his hands, legs. You know, like a normal kid kind of thing. You know, he's still growing up.
He's a normal kid.
He's still growing up. And I tell him, like, no matter through all the screaming, through all the crying, I'm like, I don't know. Like, I when it comes to laying down with them or anything, I look at him and I'm just like, I'm glad the guy's, like, breathing. I don't know.
You're just happy to have him.
Because he likes passing.
You're like, I get it.
He likes passing out on me. He sleeps in the bed with us. But, like, he holds my hand or he holds a finger. And then he passes out smiling or something, and you're just like, son of a bitch, you got me again.
Oh, yeah.
Through all the stress and all the kicking and screaming, I'm like, we're starting over again. This is refresh right here. Another day.
Man. And so, like, they tell you shit that you're like, oh, man.
But I want to ask, like, you guys had
your heart. I'm like, oh, my God.
You guys had your kids like really close together, a few years, couple years apart.
Yeah, two and a half.
Yeah. I mean, how would you feel like was the difference on that? Was it difficult the second time? How did your kid get adjusted, knowing he wasn't going to be the only one?
Yeah.
I think he was excited to be a big brother, and I think it was more of how we kind of like presented it to him.
Yeah, we definitely prepared him. I mean, from a mom perspective, I definitely had guilt. Like, I remember feeling enormous amounts of guilt, like, as soon as Nicolas was born, and being like, oh my gosh, am I going to be able to love this baby as much as I love my firstborn? Which, like, you just don't know, because you don't know what you don't know.
I don't know. Right? That's a weird feeling. Like, I feel like you get everyone together and be like, we're in it together. Just know that. I don't love you less. I don't love you more. We're in it together.
But you don't know that. Like, you realize, like, I don't know. As a mom, I feel like you're like, okay, I am still only one person, and now I have to, like, care for this other person that is, like, I was already caring for one child, and now I have to, like, care for this other child.
Right? You started my over.
Partner. Yeah, but it's not starting over. Like, it's starting over, but, like, with an extra layer, because you have another child.
You turn around like, oh, thank God you went to sleep. What are you doing?
Yeah, it's not like you're like, oh, okay, here, let's start all over again. All I can give you is all of my attention like I did with your firstborn. No, it's like, you're going to have to learn how to, like, not die while I turn really quickly to go care for the other child.
You remember what I taught you?
Don't die.
Even too, like, the older one throws it back at you. He's like, why don't you make him do that? You always make me do this. And I was like,
all y'all do it now.
Yeah, well, you're 2.5 years older. Like, you are able to do these things. Therefore, you have more responsibilities.
You know, I didn't realize how much fighting there was. Like, I didn't.
You have two boys.
No, like, just constant. It's a constant. Right, it's a constant competition.
You know what would be kind of fun? Is, like, you dress up in, like, a referee outfit and be like, all right, let's keep it clean. Let's keep it. Nothing below the belt. And let's get it on.
Yeah, we have to say that.
Yeah, every morning, Uni.
Stop touching
him. Stop touching him.
Just stop it.
Stop touching him. I feel like you would have to get involved eventually and be like, I'm going to get in on this.
I feel like I didn't realize the constant verbal exchange.
It's at a totally different level now, too. I mean, you think about...
So for context, yeah. they're 7 and they're 5 right now. So,
oh, my God.
Like, when we were kids, right, we had... I mean, we had our video games. We had Super Nintendo, Nintendo 64, those things, right?
PlayStation.
But tonight, right, they were having a fight over someone taking something from someone's house in Roblox. And I was like, what the hell is going on?
And I'm like, how do you parent this? How do you parent this? Please, someone tell me.
Seriously. Yeah, like the next sentence, like, could you get out of his world?
No.
Please get out of his fake house. Stop destroying his fake stuff.
And this is, and it's come, it's gone to this scenario where, like,
if you don't take out this trash.
So he went, and we've had this happen where one of them was like, in revenge, I will go and burn down your town. And he burned down the town. And it was like the world ended because it literally burned down. It
literally burned down his Minecraft town.
Holy shit, that's crazy.
Like, oh, hey, Minecraft is fucking crazy.
And it's like, it's just like literally build another one.
Build another one. You don't understand. You don't understand how much work went behind it, though. I tried playing that thing. I was like, what in the world is going on here?
That's so wild. You're making that program on its own. Who did that to the other one? Did Gabriel do that to Nicholas?
No, the other way around.
Oh my God. That's crazy.
I told Bobby when he was slitting all our throats. That one day I was like, that little boy, he's going to be the alpha male no matter what. I was like, you got to watch out for that little guy. I've never seen a kid jump off a tree and just like,
But what? Take it to the point now where you're making children have the stress of like a ruling king. His place going fire. He's like, oh
Yeah, and he's over there on the
no.
rooftop playing the violin, watching the
He
top.
wants to watch it burn.
You know, it'd be funny, like
Even
he's
though
out with
his
all his friends and
mom,
everything. You're
first
in
of
there,
all,
like, be nice to your brother. Be nice to your brother. And just like join
Oh
in.
my God. But I mean, that is the level of arguing that we're dealing with right now. They're both super into like the Roblox, and then that's the video game aspect of it. But we're having to navigate that. You know, none of my siblings know. None of like our parents for sure don't know. Well, it's even worse. My parents will just give one, and I'm like, what are settings? They were watching this Mickey Mouse, mom, the Mickey Mouse, because she didn't believe me. It was a Mickey Mouse video that was cussing, and I was like,
What?
look, this is what it'll filter towards him if you don't,
What?
yeah, if you don't have like the thing. So our parents don't know, have any clue on how to, like, at least my parents, I don't feel
At least
like
how to filter it.
how to filter it. It's, yeah, it's interesting. Right now, I actually had my sister ask me this question because she was like, you know, she has teenagers, and my siblings have teenagers, so they're like, and they didn't grow up with the internet, right? They didn't grow up with MySpace because they're like in their later 40s, early 50s, and they're like, how do you control what they're watching? And I'm like, they only watch through our accounts. So everything, like, they don't have their own accounts, right? And so I was like, that's how we're kind of mitigating it. But and she was trying to ask me, like, how could I mitigate it for my teenagers? And I'm like, yeah, that's like out the window.
Oh, it's totally different too.
Like,
Because
it's
by the
a
time, what is it? There's by the time they reach a certain age,
13. I mean, if you look
14.
at the actual code of the law, which I have looked at it because I was wondering this for a video for work, and it's like internet laws actually start applying to kids at 13, right?
Yeah, I
And
think it's
so
like the age of 14, right? You can no longer restrict what kids Google.
yeah, so there are like there is legislature as to at what point does somebody of a certain age have free access to what is
What,
on the internet.
when it comes to that kind of thing, I set up an appointment for my son. He's like going on 14 kind of thing. But I was looking up his appointments when it came to like Kaiser.
Oh
And
yeah.
I was like, well, I don't see anything. I was like, I'm sure I made the appointment, so I made a new one. And I was like, well, where the hell is it? I made the appointment, screenshotted it, and I called and I was just like, hey, I'm making appointments for my son, but it's not showing up on the app. I have them added on to my thing, and they're like, oh yeah. So at 13, they're able to have like, discretionary when it comes to like their parent being able to see what they do. And at the same time, I was like, well, is this guy paying rent or what the hell's going on? Like, why is he able to make all these decisions? No,
What was he doing? Postponing the
He's
appointments?
he has nothing to do about the he has no access to the app, but I'm just saying like they kind of like
At that level,
yeah.
once he reaches that age, then he has the right. So my question to you was gonna be, does he know that?
He doesn't because I haven't mentioned on my side I haven't mentioned it to him. But I am confused about why. I understand. But at
Yeah.
the same time it's just like I'm making sure this guy lives till he's 18 to be able to make his own decisions till then. And it's just like, why can't I see what my son like the me anything I'm setting up as an appointment, why can't I see it as as the parent?
Because it's HIPAA,
Yeah.
because now you're reaching into the HIPAA laws. So in education, there's the other side of it, which is the FERPA, which is like the privacy to your information, right? So people have like rights to the privacy of their own information. What's interesting to me is like, I think of my own childhood experience, and I'm going to be completely honest on here, where like I had no idea that that was even a rule, where like, once you reach a certain age, the doctor like doesn't have to share that information. And I remember my mom threatening me, being like, hey, whatever that you tell the doctor, even if I'm not in the room, the doctor has to tell me.
She was
And
playing on
so
the smart
like,
side.
She was, but I mean, but that's and not
she,
the point.
And
the,
she worked in the medical
field. Did you believe her?
Yes, I completely believed her. And so there was this sense of fear that not even at a doctor's office, I could be completely honest, because this anxiety of like, oh my gosh, like the doctor's going to tell my mom. And so it just completely breaks like the power dynamic.
You know, it's kind of crazy when it comes to that thing is just, I don't know how open you are with your mom. And I'm not criticizing. Yeah, okay. I'm not criticizing from there. But you know, I've always been open with my son and been like, and I've always told him like, no matter what the meaty greedy thing is, like, have I ever lied to you? And he's like, no. I'm like, have I ever told you the truth? Whatever is going on, like, if anything. And he's like, no. And I feel like when it comes to like the whole doctor visit thing, if your mom told you like, you better tell me like. Well, I'm not saying that exact words, but it's just, I don't know. I feel like if you build a certain bond, you could be like, you know, you want to find out certain things about you. And if something's going on, you know, I have your back and you know, we're in it together kind of thing. So if you kind of go in blind without it, and it's just like, you're just like, well, I don't want my mom to find out.
No, and I completely understand. I don't think that is the right way. But what I'm saying is that those policies of as soon as you reach 13, therefore you fall under HIPAA now, are in place for a reason. And part of that reason is because of certain situations, such as the way that I grew up, right? Where
Mexicans.
There is, no, being a female.
I think all the Mexican race, I think all grew up the same way you did.
But there is a difference between growing up a Mexican male and growing up a Mexican
female. Yeah. Tell us.
And I don't think it's necessarily just all just Mexicans, right? You have, I mean, there's a lot of cultures where, you know, your parents, and especially with women, right, use that type of information against them.
Yeah.
Oh, trust me.
It's a patriarchy. It's whatever society is holding up the patriarchy. And that's not just men. That is also women who are holding up the patriarchy.
It's just protecting kids from crappy parents, really.
Because
like, you know, the universe is saying is like, why can't I know I'm a good parent? Which, obviously, yeah. Fine, you are, but it's like, that's not a law against you, bud. It's a law against crappier parents. You know, people who aren't going to be.
And I get it.
People are going to be like, oh, man, if I find out, you know, I'm going to kick your ass and bring you right back.
I mean, there's a part of it, right, where it's, you know, like you have a good relationship with your kid and we can be honest with each other. And they know, hey, whatever I tell the doctor, it my mom or my dad isn't going to use it against me.
I get why the law is there. It's not, you know, percentile when it comes to, you know, it's, you don't have that many kids that grew up that type of way or had that kind of upbringing where it's just, you're able to be, you know, familiar with your parents or be, you know, you have a voice. So I get it. I just want to know why I'm excluded.
Your kid. ask him for his password.
I have the password. That's the thing, is that I have access to all of it. It's just weird. Yeah. I don't know.
I mean, I always say this. I'm like, dude, if my mom had access to this technology when I was a teenager, oh my gosh.
Oh, Dulce and I talked about that. We're like, imagine your mom had a Ring doorbell while we were dating. Right? But she would have been like, what is he doing there again? Who is this boy?
If they had a Ring doorbell, they really wouldn't check the door.
No. And just like the fact that my parent, like, and that, and because even if now, like, my dad can care less about the technology. He's just like, get me a flip phone and get me a TV, and I'm happy.
Razor is the freaking best. That was the best times.
But my mom is like, no, we've entered the land of surveillance. This is my land of surveillance.
Yeah, like 3 Ring doorbells on her house and 2 indoor cameras.
For the restroom?
You got 2 indoor cameras?
Yeah.
And,
like...
and she has her phone on like 100% notifications.
Oh my God.
Like not even a fly can go by. without me knowing.
Exactly.
And it's but it's so, to the point where she gets so many notifications where she doesn't care about one of
exactly.
them.
Exactly. It defeats the purpose. Defeats the purpose.
Just Bobby in the restroom just
ding. It's either my Amazon package or there's murders at the front door.
The murders.
One of the two.
Murder.
It is a crazy time of surveillance, though. And it's a crazy amount of data that is just being fed through all of these systems.
You know, when I first got my son, Christopher, a phone, when we first got him a cell phone, and we put him on the plan, I'm like, for a while, dude, he wasn't doing his homework. So I was like, put him on the kids plan, you know? And then that meant that, like, at any moment... we wanted to, we could just shut down all the data on his phone.
Oh, perfect.
But how old was he?
Well, maybe 14, I think, or 13. Yeah, sometimes we'd be like, he's not doing his homework, you know, and my wife, because of the upbringing she used to have, you know, she used to be like, well, no, she took it much easier on him, but compared to what she used to deal with, you know, they used to spank her and hit her and all this shit. So with him, sometimes she'd yell, and I'd be like, look, you don't even need to yell at him, look. And I'd be, like, turning off his shit. I'm like, there, now you can't use his phone for a week. All of a sudden, he'd be like, hey, my phone doesn't work. And we'd all be just like, yeah, you didn't do your homework. Enjoy that brick. So, like, walk away. I didn't tell him anything, and, dude, he would, like, a switch would happen, and he would just go back to doing everything he needed. So it's so crazy, like, all this stuff, this access is, like, so new, and you're like, oh my god, they're gonna get into this, into that. But at the same time, it's like, well, it also gives you an ability of control, which to a lot of people would seem unfair. But at the same time, it's like, hey, look, you don't even have to yell at them or anything. You just take this thing that nobody actually really needs away, and all of a sudden they're like, I don't got shit to do but my homework or what I'm asked to do.
It's, I don't know, interesting. I saw your thing, Adam, about the ChatGPT, right? Because I feel like we're entering a phase where we are trying to use technology to make our lives easier, but people are starting to get really scared of it, right?
Mm-hmm.
And so I feel like that's what's happening with ChatGPT, where like people are just like, should we trust it? I don't know. And like people are trying to use it to like, you know, this is cheating.
It's the end of the world.
Like, no, it's like everybody's going to stop thinking critically because of this. And I'm like, why can't it like help us? Like, why can't we train it?
Well, okay. I'm with you. I want to be optimistic, but do you think that idea is a little unwarranted, that people shouldn't be worried?
Well, I do think they should be worried. I mean, obviously, walk with caution, but also don't kill innovation.
I don't know. I'm a little in the middle of the road on that one. I agree with you because I was just saying a good thing about technology in a way, you know?
Yeah.
But in the first place, somebody has to think that way to be like, I want a new route to, you know, discipline my kids. In terms of this new technology with ChatGPT, the idea of this, the fear of it, right?
Mm-hmm.
I guess that part for me is just a matter of like work. Like, is it going to take away work? Because then now the critical thinking, that becomes secondary to me, because there's always going to be dumb people anyway. So
yeah,
it makes no difference.
I feel like this is like the cliff notes of this time, right? Like when we were in high school, you know, so early 2000s, cliff notes or spark notes was the thing, right?
Yeah.
So,
yeah,
you know, and I mean, I'll be honest. I mean, there were times where, you know, I had so much to do that spark notes were the way for me to get by, right? Because it's just, you know, I have sports after school, I have this, I have that. How am I supposed to fit 5 hours worth of homework into 2 hours of available time and still get a decent night's sleep? Right. And so, I mean, we would look at Spark Notes and it's like, okay, well, I basically got the plot of the story. understand where, understand, some of the key components, of what the author's trying to say. And, hey, I might not get an A out of this, but I'll get a B, and that's still passing.
Okay. I get that completely, and I agree with you that in a lot of ways it is that cliffness where, in other words, you have faith in people that they're still going to learn the material, which, okay, fine. But the other thing is who's applying it? Because right now we're talking about people, like individuals applying it. And in that space, that's the space you're arguing for right now. But what I'm more afraid of is once corporations start applying it, because the corporation is going to say, you know what? You know all those times that you call for credit card information and you make a phone call and a person wants to talk to an operator? It's like, now we have a better version to replace those people. It's not hitting 4 and 3 and, for this, press that, people hate that. Mm-hmm. Now there's going to be a robot that talks to you and it's going to replace that person. I don't know how many people are going to be out of work, but that sounds like a lot. If it's not just banks, it's every time you call customer service, at the other end of that, it's going to be a robot. And like, that's ChatGPT alone. I saw a report not long ago that within the next 10 years, robots, just robots, not this AI that we're talking about, robots alone are going to replace 800 million people in the workforce. It's like, we're creating, it's like, what was that word you were saying? Innovation. It is innovation. But it's like, who is this going to benefit if at the end of the day they're going to tell you can't feed yourself?
Yeah.
We're all going to become podcasters.
That's the scary part to me. Cause I know my job's mostly safe because it's all very physical, even though it's like, how long can I do that for? But at the same time, I'm like, at the same time, it's like, okay, let's say your job is protected because it takes what am I thinking? Like a skill set. Let's just say that. Well, even so, everybody else who lost their job, whatever you're putting out there, now they can't afford it. Especially if you're in a consumer type of business or whatever. Now those people can't afford to buy the product that you, whatever you work for. So that ends up being like, wow, even though you have a skill, there's nobody buying it because all the telemarketers are gone. Everything that ChatGPT, I don't know what the other applications are yet, but I feel like it's going to open up.
I just can't wait for the telemarketer to call me and then me to use my own ChatGPT to talk to the telemarketer.
Oh, I know.
And watch them talk in circles.
I mean, people are already doing it with that AI art.
Yes!
That's AI scary stuff.
What are they going to delegate people to? That's the other thing.
But I also see it as like, I don't know. I mean, I'm going to get pretty philosophical here, but I also see it as like the evolution of the human race. And so how do we evolve and how do we evolve our skill sets? Because those jobs are going to be gone. So then what are going to be the new jobs? What are the new jobs? And we don't know that right now. New skill sets that are going to have to be?
I'm going
to
sell pictures of my feet.
We know that we should start teaching our kids coding, right?
Yeah.
We got to teach our kids what a computer language is, whether it be SQL, Python, Java, etc., right?
Teach
them that. We know that they need to know, like, what's it called? Processes, right? That's part of coding too. So like teaching them, I mean, there's an entire field of cybersecurity that's just growing.
I mean, there's that. And then there's all the, like the other skill sets, right? That, like physical labor type of skill sets that I feel like are also right now, like on the decline, right? Just as it's hard to find skilled labor these days,
right? Yeah, but I think that has a lot to do with the fact that the income, it doesn't, like, you could be an entry level at a even in a union, and it's like, you look at the rents, like, you still can't afford, it's like crazy that having a union job, you still can barely afford, you probably can't buy a house actually, not at first.
I mean,
Not for a long time.
I feel like at some point that's going to hit a breaking point, right? Where we're going to say, oh, like, man, we really need this, these types of services. And we're going to have to match the pay in order to incentivize people to start learning these trades.
They're already on.
I mean, it's already
at I want to believe that, but, like, consider this, okay? Because right now that's where we're at the moment. But things, it's always going to be, like, the machine doesn't want to do that. Whoever's in charge, even though that's what's necessary now, they don't want to do that. So let's say what I was saying earlier about putting people out of work, ChatGPT puts out a bunch of people out of work. So now what ends up happening is, like, all those labor jobs, there's a mass of people who are like, dude, give me the job. Fuck it. I'll do it. I'll do it. I need to do it. And now because there's a massive influx of people, then the job can now go, well, I can only give you this much because it doesn't matter. There's another guy behind you ready to take the job from you. And it's kind of, I forgot what I saw. It was like a documentary I saw.
It is like a catch-22.
Well, no, it's like your pool of candidates is growing and the positions to fill is shrinking.
Right, exactly, because even as a... Yeah, even the stuff we're saying, like coding for kids, right?
Mm-hmm.
It's like, okay, let's say we teach all these kids to code, but let's take the analogy of just using robots. Like, my brother works in a warehouse where the robots pull the merchandise off the shelves. Mm-hmm. What he does is he fixes the robots. But it's like, you got three dudes fixing robots and, I don't know, a ton of robots.
Yeah, versus the 50 that you had that were doing the
work. Right, so if you teach a bunch of kids how to code, it's like, we don't need all you guys. We need a few guys.
So here's the other thing. You determine who gets the coding jobs and who doesn't get the coding jobs.
It's whoever wants the least. Whoever wants the least money.
It's like, so because you're starting to get into like educational pathways, right? Like, we only have a certain number of spots for those coders. And then we need these other skill sets. But, you know, I mean, here's where like pay comes in, right? Paying a living wage.
Yeah.
Right. So you need to obviously have a livable wage across all of these jobs in order for there to be somewhat saturation across all of those needed positions in society.
Yeah. But I don't know. I do have a problem with that ideology, because what we're really saying is like, well, go get an education. That's fair to say. But then in practice, it's like, hey, that person bagging your groceries, that person that handles the money for the corporation, like, that's a huge responsibility to handle money and to ask them not to steal it. And then they're going to be like, yeah, we're still not going to pay you enough to not have to get welfare, you know?
Oh, a livable wage is, yeah, you need.
Exactly. And it's like, yeah, I know that guy doesn't have, maybe they didn't have an education. I kind of still think they should be able to afford wherever they live. Because I don't care that they don't, I don't know. I know that they don't have the education, but that's where what's the word I'm looking for? People's apathy towards the people like that. It's like, oh, well, he doesn't have education. It's his fault. And I'm like, yeah, but that person is still necessary. Like, you still need custodians. They're very necessary. You need sanitation.
Of course.
Yeah.
Well, so. I don't think people... I really do think that there is a shift as to the need, I think, of like just get education for the sake of education. I think there is a shift now in saying get education and get a skill set, right?
Like,
get a skill set. And that could, like, that means education, like, education means different things for different skill sets. So for one skill set, if you're talking about carpentry, that education is going to be obviously going straight into the apprenticeship
job. Mm-hmm.
If you're talking about a pharmacy technician or maybe a phlebotomist, that education is going to be a short-term certificate that's going to give you the skill set after 1 or 2 years. If you're looking at, you know, being a physician, that's like 10 years, right? Like, the educate. So education in the sense, I do think that there is a sense of now thinking, okay, are we giving people the skill sets that they need to be out in the world? And then I think obviously the other side of that coin is, do those skill sets get paid a living wage?
No, I would say no. You mentioned phlebotomist, it's just under 50 grand.
Yeah.
And it's like, you can live by yourself in an apartment, probably, but to cap people off at that level, it's also, you're also telling people, but you can't afford a family.
Yeah.
It's just you. Don't make any plans.
And you would even maybe argue with the other side in post-secondary in 4 years. At the rate, okay, yeah, you may be earning, let's say you may be earning $20,000 more, but for 4 years, you're probably going to go more into $20,000 more of debt than anybody else who didn't go through that process. So even that conversation is even being had after your bachelor's, your master's, a doctorate, etc.
Okay, this is kind of a dark topic, so I'm going to segue a little bit by still mentioning it, okay?
Mm-hmm.
Like, this unpredictability of, like, you know, the future of AI and everything being robotics and stuff like that, is that kind of like, do you ever think about, like, what the heck are kids going to do? What are our kids going to do? Like, what are their jobs going to be if these sectors keep getting shut down? There's less and less to do and less people to do. You know what I mean? Or it's just like so far off that we're not thinking there yet. You know what I mean? Is that something that's crossed your guys' mind, in other words?
I mean, I think it definitely has, in the sense of, I definitely not as like, I can tell you right now, when we first met and I just got out of college, I knew I wanted kids, but I wasn't like, my kids need to learn how to code because it's the future of the coding. Like, that wasn't my skill. Like, I didn't think that way. I was just like, yeah, kids. But now I'm like, I'm a parent. Like, now I think about where I'm at in my career, right?
Uh-huh.
I think of like, the people I'm interacting with and my circles, and at least from my perspective, I'm just like, that like coding seems to be a thing or a skill set that would be useful. For example, now people are like, oh, you know what's a useful skill set? Being bilingual.
Yeah.
Like, I mean, but when we grow up, people didn't think that was a skill set.
And honestly, who knows in like 5 years?
And who knows if in 5 years, maybe in 5 years, there's the AI language. And then that's what everybody must learn. And Java is out the window and Python is out the window.
Yeah, because it's going to be like, at this point, if you can think it, your computer can code it for you. Who knows?
All right, so this is the bad nerd advice that I have. Teach your kids to code. But then also teach, you know, in case the world continues with the great software that we have, and then teach them to build a fire and load a shotgun in case it all falls apart.
And teach them apathy. Because if apathy cuts across all of those, it doesn't matter. You're still going to have a good kid.
Yeah. You mean empathy?
Apathy.
Apathy?
Empathy. Sorry.
Yeah.
Okay. Have them be not apathetic. How about that? Empathetic.
Yeah, empathetic.
Yeah, for sure. Yeah. I think about that too. I'm like,
she's a couple beers in, so she's getting her pathies mixed up.
I know. At the end of the day, I do think about that. I'm like, oh, I guess our job is just to try to make good people, right? Because we see all the
I've been
crappy
sitting
people.
Here just kind of listening to it, and I was like, you know what? I mean, that's my goal kind of as a parent, is like, I don't care what you do at the end of the day, as long as you're a good person and, you know, you're not just, you know, being lazy, not trying to, you know, trying to just get by, right? Good things are going to come your way as long as you're working for it and you're good to others, right? There's always going to be, you know, even in the time of need, someone's going to be there to lend out a hand, right? And, I think ultimately, as parents, that's what we're trying to do, is just create good people. And I've told my kids that plenty of times before they go to bed is, you know, I don't, you know, hey, I don't care what you do. I just, you know, I hope you're having fun. I hope you're learning something. And at the end of the day, I hope you're a good person to other people, and that because you're being a good person to others, that people like you.
Oh, that's awesome.
I think it's skill set too. I mean, it's the skills of life in general. Like, put aside career. Like, how do you navigate just human relationships?
Yeah, that stuff's a little hard to get so nuanced, right? But because, like, oh man, like, you know, sometimes I hear my daughter coming home from kindergarten. She'll be like, I didn't have such a good day. And I'll be like, why? And she'll be like, nobody wanted to play with me. And it breaks my heart. I'm like, oh, fuck. You know? And it's more nuanced because I can't just be like, well, fuck them. You know?
Oh, yeah.
But, you know, but at the same time, sometimes, like, the very last time I was, I forgot exactly what I said to her. But then I look back and I was like, maybe I should have said less. Because it's one of those things that they do have to kind of figure out on their own. Like,
it's a fine line. It totally is a fine line.
Yeah.
And it's such a weird, it's a like a weird age for them, right? At like so kindergarten, first grade, second grade, they're still in that mindset of like, you know, trying to figure out what others are thinking of them. They've, you know, they've been raised in a world of pretty much, you know, parenting, right? Which is, don't do this because of that. Don't do this. Don't do that. Don't do this, right? So constantly questioning what they're doing and then being thrown into a world where you get to make the decisions. And now, you know, you're concerned, like, should I be doing this? Should I be doing that? What are
others
thinking of me, right? And that, and now there's, now they're getting thrown into a world of social norms, right? And
they're picking up on those social norms and what is being said and what is on media and what's on the internet, what's on your phone.
Because that's the part that's going to make it sound old. Like, what are you saying? That down.
But it is a weird age. And I think we probably experienced that in a different way, right? Because we, I mean, our parents would tell us, you know, don't do this, do that. Don't do that. And you start going, you know, and now when you have that freedom, right? Mom and dad aren't around. And, okay, so there's parts where, okay, now I'm expected to do what the teacher says. And then I go to recess and the teachers aren't around. And, okay, what is this person saying? What is, you know, and they have to get used to being able to make decisions on their own and understanding how people are going to react to it. And so it's, you know, they're filling it out and it's scary because it's new. And no matter what age you are, change is scary.
Yeah. You know, I was thinking, like, I don't know exactly what my daughter told me, but, you know, this is kindergarten now, right? And she also goes to gymnastics. And then sometimes she does an after-school program. So we try to pick her up as early as we can from that, you know, but she'll be like, one day she's like, she'll be after-school program, then she went to gymnastics, and then she gets home, and then, you know, it's hardly time really to herself, which is what it would be like before kindergarten. And I remember her expressing, like, yeah, man, it's a lot. That's a lot today. And like, she was like, I didn't even play. She means like outside of school. And then she's like, yeah, do I have gymnastics tomorrow? I'm tired. I don't want to do it. You know. And it was the first time I was like, God damn, like the rigor of life at kindergarten. Like the feeling that we get from work is what she's feeling at kindergarten already. And I'm like, I don't know. It made me question what we're doing like a little bit as a society to ourselves. Oh, where it's
10 times more stressful for her though, Adam, because there's plenty of more people judging her.
Yeah, I know. No, that's the thing. It's like,
right?
It's weird because it's like they're six, but they're saying something that I feel when I get out of work.
Oh,
and I'm just like,
every time I feel like Nicolas says, like he acts the way I feel inside.
Sometimes. Yeah, he's questioning. And he's like, "What the fuck are we doing?" I'm like, "Right? What are we doing?" I don't know. Yeah, I don't know. Obviously, I think it's awesome being a parent. I'm happy for anyone who gets to experience it, but that's the part that makes it hard for me, thinking of that stuff when it's like, oh, man, I wish, you know, you kind of wish the world was a little different where you're like, hey, man, let's hang out all the time.
Of course.
Instead, Yeah, it's weird. Oh boy. Okay. Universe.
Yep.
Should we talk about something else? You wanna? I don't know. It's kind of getting late.
Yeah, we ran up.
We're crashing.
I think we ran up a good time.
It was a long time. It was longer than we usually do.
Yeah.
I saw my real job in the morning.
Which I will use ChatGPT for.
Well, one thing I wanted to talk to you about, it's got nothing to do with anything we've been talking about tonight. How do you guys feel about mobile barbers?
Mobile barbers? What the fuck?
I mean, I experimented with self-barbering during COVID.
Because I was telling Adam, I saw this guy in a van. He even had that, you know, that classic, like, blue and white, red spiral type of thing going on. You know how they have in front of barbershops?
Yeah.
He had this
attached to his van?
Inside the van was that thing spinning in there. And he had two chairs with mirrors and whatnot. And I was like, holy shit, this guy has a whole goddamn workshop in this thing.
Well, I know during COVID, because, you know, my mom was a hairstylist for, you know, 25 years. She would have people over during COVID in our garage, in her garage at home. That's kind of mobile barber, right? Except the people come to you when all the barber shops and hair salons were shut down.
No, but imagine someone shows up in front of your house and is like, jump in the van. I'm about to cut your hair.
As long as he didn't hit a speed bump.
I mean, we've been doing that with dogs for the longest time, right? Ace Ventura had mutton cuts. I mean, I guess as long as they're like, as long as they're licensed and they're like sterilizing their equipment, that's cool.
Sterilizing?
We've entered the age of convenience.
You know how dirty people's hair.
No, I'm just saying. You think they're sterilizing inside a van?
Yeah, well, I mean, you gotta. It's basically a can of Lysol. It's just all you're making sure you're doing at the end is spraying down your equipment when you're done with someone, not using the same comb on two people in a row without sanitizing it.
But I'll never tell.
Wait, I gotta, because we're gonna end it soon, and the other stuff was so dark. I want to just end it with something light, real quick.
Hit with a hidden gem. Okay.
Tell you a story about my kid. What it's like to have a kid sometimes at five. They're so honest. So we're taking her to school one day. My neighbor, her kid is the same age as my kid, so they go to the same school, and they're coming outside to. And then getting in their car to go to school. And then my kid's out there too. And then, what is that kid's name? I forgot. I think it's, who cares? Let's just say it's David. And she's like yelling at him, you know, from our yard to his yard. He's like, hey, David. And you can see that his mom is visibly like looking away, like trying not to make eye contact with my daughter. And then she goes, hey, David. And then David goes, hey, what's up? And then the mom goes, hey, I didn't see you there. And my daughter goes, yeah, you did. Like, right, called her out on it. Like, yeah, you did. You saw me. Dude, she turned so fucking many colors. Like, so red. And my kid called her out on it, dude. So,
that's awesome.
That's it. You look forward to having kids. It's fun. It's fun.
You know, it's a funny story. It's a hidden little story thing, but like... I went to Disneyland. My son was like 8 or 9 or 10 or something. No, I would say a lot. 7 or 8 around there. And he was asking me, who's your favorite superhero? I was like, either the Flash or Punisher. I was like, those guys are my favorite heroes. And he's like, all right. And we're going to Disneyland. We used to do it like every like Friday morning or something like that. I had the pass. And this was the time they had is it Innovation or whatever the thing is called? The thing with like the Avengers?
Yeah.
And you get to meet, like, I think it was Captain America or Thor or something like that. Mm-hmm. And we went to Captain America first. And we meet Captain America. He's like, hey, how you doing, buddy? Gets down on one knee and everything. And he's like, how you doing, Dad? And I was like, ah, good, good, good. And he goes, I know I'm a superhero and everything. He's like, but who's your superhero? And he's talking to my son. And my son goes, my dad. But I know at that moment he was trying to say my dad's favorite superhero is blah, 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 blah. But he kind of cut him off and like he threw like a little tear because what it sounded like is just saying my dad is my favorite superhero.
And we'll just leave it at that.
And we'll leave it at that. So Captain America looked at me like, you son of a bitch, you did it.
He's like, wait a minute, I just told this kid he couldn't have a churro. And he was bawling.
He was
bawling. Oh my god, it's so funny.
He had a little like speech impediment kind of thing growing up. So like it was like my dad, and the way I know he talks, like he was trying to tell him that, you know, he was trying to say my dad's favorite superhero because likes to involve me in things. Oh, but man. Like Captain America looked at me, he's like, he even nodded his head like, son of a bitch, that's fucking awesome. He goes, that's awesome. Your dad's your superhero.
Adding soldier. Adding.
Turned around and drank out of his flask at that moment.
What's the point?
That was beautiful.
That's awesome.
Have a good night, guys.
Yeah. So thank you for coming on to the Banner Podcast, Bobby and Lutze. We hope to have you on here some more. Hope this was a little warm up. Whether it was dark or refreshing or a good way to reminisce on things. Usually we do it like a hidden gem, but I don't know if we have anything.
This time. No.
It was that dark. And so, like I said, you can hit us up on the Banner Podcast on Instagram as well as Twitter. If you have any questions or anything you want to ask us, or if you have any questions for Bobby and Dutze for future reference or anything like that, make sure to hit us up on there. You guys have anything else to say before we go?
Thank you.
Yeah. Thank you, guys.
Oh, thank God.
In case I don't see you, good evening and good night.
All right. Thank you guys again for joining on.
Thank you. Bye.
All right. Bye.